Amen. Well, good morning again. I'm aware of the time, but we're going to chug on. Is that cool? Amen. So hang with me. We'll be in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 15 through 29. 15 through 29. I know we just finished praying, but let's pray again over God's word. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for everything you're doing for us in our church family, in our community. Father, I ask that you will bless our steps tonight. Lord, that we may plant a seed that one day an entire family would be changed. I ask you to direct our steps, give us the peace. Help us be patient tonight with all these children. Lord, as always, we lift up our military and our foreign missionaries around the world. Lord, thank you for Samaritan's Purse. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 29. Let's read. This, again, I'm not insulting your intelligence here, but this is Jesus. This is what he says. He says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit." Verse 19, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law. Everybody said amen? Amen. As most of you are aware, we're going through the book of Matthew. So here we are. Another challenging couple verses, but I'm going to teach God's word. Right? So if the shoe fits, wear it. If I or you or any of us need to repent, then now's the time to do it. Everybody said amen? Raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. Say amen. Amen. Many people will be surprised on Judgment Day. Many people will be surprised who actually gets into heaven and who doesn't. Many supposedly followers or people, Christians, will find out that they are not going to heaven. They're not going to spend eternity with God. But see, Jesus doesn't want this to happen to you. He doesn't want this to happen to me. The Bible clearly says that it is not God's will that any man should perish but come to repentance. In other words, he wants us to be born again and to spend eternity with him. So much that he loved us that he gave his only son to die on the cross. Amen? So, therefore, in these passages this morning, there are three areas. So if you're taking notes, there are three areas to examine If you want to, if I want to know whether or not you're a counterfeit Christian. And I'm talking to myself too here. As I studied this week, the Lord's speaking to me too about this. So the first thing we want to do to make sure that we're not a counterfeit Christian is, number one, we want to examine your fruit. If you're taking notes, examine your fruit. Jesus begins this section with a warning about false prophets. Now, in this scripture right here, in this Greek, prophets mean someone who teaches or preaches or talks about God. It's not talking about someone who sees the future, you know, as some of these words prophet mean. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. So let's start there, and we're going to go through these scriptures. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets, right? People who talk about God. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Now here's a key for you, and I've seen this so many times in my counseling ministry. A lot of these, counterfeit Christians. You'll hear them talk a lot about God. They'll use the word God. But rarely do you hear them use Jesus' name. Rarely will you hear them say, my Jesus, or Jesus Christ, or my Savior. But they will say God, God this, God that. And you have to be careful, because sometimes they're not talking about the same God from Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God as we understand even the Bible. False prophets, Jesus talks about them a lot here. False prophets are people who can quote Bible verses, use Christian jargon. They appear very spiritual. They'll even say things like, I'll be praying for you. And they don't think twice about you later. Most of the time, these folks are motivated by money, fame, power, which we know is all pride. Often these folks will be found and caught in sexual immorality. 2 Peter talks about these guys. 2 Peter 2:14, here's what it says. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. I'm reading the scripture here. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts at greed, and the Bible goes on to call them a cursed brood, that's children. And they are. The Bible calls them children of the devil. Now, comparing false prophets to vicious wolves, it means that these people are spiritual predators. And we have to watch out for them. We have to watch out. They appear to be sheep. They appear to be friends of God's sheep. But they actually just want to fleece them. Several years ago, almost 30 years ago, I was in a church. We had a famous evangelist come through. Oh, he's famous, all right. I still might have a little bit of resentment against him, but I've tried to work that out through the years. But he was all about power and fame and money. And it came out later, after 6 weeks in a revival, every night. And I won't call his name because he may have gotten saved between then and now. right? But he ended up him staying away from his wife in Alabama in a hotel here in Valdosta, and ended up with seducing all these ladies to come pray with him in his hotel room. And he ended up with a whole bunch of jewelry and CDs and money. And Lynn and I had a college ministry at that time, and he ended up, well, we got kids here today, but y'all know what I mean, right? He ended up with that college student in his hotel room. And that all fell apart at the end. And me and the youth pastor, we had plotted out how we're going to go lay hands on him. But, you know what I'm saying? And we weren't going to pray for him either. But anyway, God spared us from jail time. Thank God, right, children? You know, you never get back at people with violence, right? Amen? But that really got it. It still got him. It's still in me now. I mean, that was, you know, so we have to watch out for these vicious wolves. Paul talks about this when he's talking to the elders. And he says, Acts 20:29, this is what he said. I know that after I leave, this is Paul talking to the Ephesians church, right? Paul says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. So Jesus tells us that we will recognize these people, not just preachers, but other co-workers, friends, neighbors, these kind of things. Jesus says we will recognize these folks by the fruit that they bear. This includes false prophets. This also includes counterfeit Christians. Now let's go to Matthew. I got to get out of that. I'm shaking up here. I'm nervous. I don't never get nervous. It's not nerves, is it? Jesus, help me. Matthew 7:16. By their fruit you will recognize them. And then he goes on to talk about figs and grapes. And the reason he's talking about grapes and figs is because during that time, that agricultural crop, that was some of the main crops. So Jesus' hearers, those folks that were listening to him at that time, they knew what he was talking about. He spoke their language. He knew exactly what they were talking about. He was keeping it very simple. In Matthew 7:17, he says, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears what? Bad fruit. You see, guys, a genuine believer, someone who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, they will be recognized by the fruit that they bear. Okay? It's like the fruit of the Spirit. I know, Doodlebug, what's your name? Kelly. Man. Dang. Sorry, I know Kelly. Like I know anybody else's name in here. It's just, I get to rolling and I get sidetracked. Jesus help me. She did a class, doing a class on fruit of the Spirit. But I love this because the fruit of the Spirit is like a word picture of Jesus. It's like a word picture of Jesus. And you guys know Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit, everybody listen, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You see, notice love comes first. Because love, this love, this fruit of love is like, it's like a painter's canvas where the paint sticks. And without love, we can't produce, we don't produce it anyway, but without love, these other fruits will not show up in our life. The fruit of the Spirit describes the character of a true prophet. It describes the character of a true believer. Someone who really has been born again. Matthew 7:19, it says, every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Folks, this is the picture of the final judgment. You see, and hear my heart on this now. Don't throw stones at me here, but hear my heart. Going through the motions of getting saved and not having the transformational power of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to produce fruits, is not much to it. See, a person who truly gets saved and born again, they will start producing fruit. You will start seeing a change in their life. They're not going to be perfect, still going to make mistakes, but you will start seeing them producing fruit. They will start out being a little bit more kind, a little bit more loving, a little bit more patient. And most of the time it takes a little time, But you will see fruit. When you don't see any fruit, like I see a lot of that in my counseling and working with guys who have trouble with drugs and alcohol. I see a lot. They try religion, they try God, and it doesn't work for them. You don't see any fruit. They keep sinning. They keep going back and sinning. They keep on doing this stuff. Number two, examine your faith. Now, verses 15 through 20 deals with false prophets. Verses 21 through 23 is dealing with false followers. Matthew 7:21 says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Remember, God's will is not for any man to perish, but to repent. Come to repentance. It means get saved, born again. That's God's will for us to get born again. Become followers of Christ. Now you got to notice here that Jesus was not talking to atheists. He was not talking to agnostics. He was not talking to these non-religious folks. He is speaking to very religious people who have their names written down in a church membership log. They've been baptized. They are leaders in their church. And some of these folks really think that they're going to heaven, but they're not. Why? They have faulty faith. I told you to hang on, right? They have faulty faith. The Greek word for faith, you know, we're saved by grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. That word faith in the Greek is a Greek word that means pistis. I've been practicing that all week. Pistis. And pistis means more than just believing in something. It means more than just believing in something. The devil believes in Jesus. Demons believe in Jesus. Right? I believe in Abraham Lincoln, but that doesn't transform my life. It doesn't change my direction. I'm not, because I believe in Abraham Lincoln doesn't mean I'm going to quit my job now and go to law school and become a lawyer, because it's just changed me. I'll give you a crazy funny example. This weekend we went to a pastor's conference. And was up there, and I think it was Saturday, right? They gave us five hours off Saturday at lunch, so about 5. And I was like, hey, cool. We were like 45 minutes from Helen, so Lynn and I said, let's go to Helen, you know. So we shot up to Helen. We didn't want to go to the interstate, so we went this back road. And was I driving? Yeah, I was driving. And Lynn has GPS on her phone, right? And at first, I rebelled against that. Most men know what I mean, right? I know where I'm going. And so we take off through the kind of back roads, we're running around, right? And all of a sudden, I really do get my bearings mixed up, you know? And I'm thinking, I know this is south or whatever, you know? And I'm like, this thing is taking us the wrong way. This is crazy. I said, no, I know this is, I mean, I was like, right? I was arrogant and everything. I know this is where we're supposed to go. And so I turn and we go this way, and the GPS is going, turn around, whatever, you know? I'm like, don't, just turn that thing off. And Lynn's like, no, this thing knows where it's going. Right? So there was a time, like right in there, I had to just like, cause I knew I was going the right way. You'll get the little metaphor here. I knew I was going the right way. But there's a point there where I had to trust Lynn, but I had to believe in this GPS system. And when I put my, it's not the same as being saved, I'm not saying that, but I had to put my belief in this GPS system. And when I did, then guess what? I had to turn around. I had to eat curl and turn around and get back on the track. And lo and behold, the thing was right. And then we ended up where we were supposed to end up. Sorry. Man, how many can relate to that? Raise your hand. Come on, don't leave me out there by myself. Oh, yeah. Whatever. this biblical belief is like, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and this belief transforms you. It persuades you to repent of your sins and turn from your wicked ways. That's what this is really talking about. It is to believe or to be persuaded about something to the degree that your life permanently changes. See, biblical faith means you're totally and permanently committed to Jesus Christ. You're willing every day to get up, pick up your cross, and follow Him. That's what this means. You will repent of your sins. You will turn from your wicked ways. Now, some of us, it takes a long time to allow the Holy Spirit to work on you. But immediately, everyone changes something. If it's small, man, I don't cuss as much. Or, I don't watch this. I got to stop doing this. Stop going here. I don't need to hang around them no more, right? Some of y'all remember when you first got saved? Even sometimes people would say, you just seem different. Because your countenance on your face is different, maybe. Maybe you found that peace that surpasses all understanding. But everybody changes. And that is those fruit, the fruit that you begin to bear. John 8:31 says, to the Jews who had believed in Jesus, Jesus said this, if you hold to my teachings... Everybody still with me? If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. If you were genuinely a Christian, if you were genuinely born again and washed into the blood, you will abide. You will abide in Him. That word abide means to faithfully follow Christ. True followers of Jesus may stumble, and you will make mistakes, won't you? You will stumble. You're not perfect. But like Peter, who made huge mistakes, right? He got up, brushed his pants off, kept on following Jesus. That's the big difference between a true follower. You're going to have times in life. It's going to be rough. But you get up, you brush your pants off, and you keep following Christ. You keep following Him. And you keep following Him. You make a mistake. You mess up. You keep following Him. And you follow Him all the way until the day you die. Counterfeit Christians with faulty faith, they will say this, this religious mess didn't work for me. This God thing, yeah. Didn't work for me. And they walk away. Well, according to the Bible and Jesus, they weren't saved to start with. They had faulty faith. I've had many clients do that. Many over the years. I tried going to church just full of a bunch of hypocrites. Hundreds of excuses like that. I tried that Jesus thing and that. This just wasn't for me. Nah. There's an old saying that says this. It is faith alone that saves, but a faith that saves is never alone. Think about that. Faith is always accompanied by a changed heart, a changed life that reveals itself in good fruit. Now, this might be negative, but unfortunately, some very religious people and even some famous preachers will say to Jesus on Judgment Day, on that day, just what Jesus said in Matthew 7:22. He said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Remember the word prophecy now. Remember what it means. Doesn't refer to people that can tell the future in this particular scripture. But the folks who were preaching and talking about God, Jesus says that all counterfeit Christians, he talks about them in Matthew 7:23. He says, and I will tell them plainly, listen closely, this is a very important one right here. He says, he tells them plainly, I never knew you. Jesus did not say this. He didn't say, well, I knew you once, but you lost your salvation. That's not what Jesus said there. He will say he never knew them. In other words, Jesus says, I never, never had a personal relationship with you. And then the Lord will say to these pseudo-saints, these wannabe saints, these posers, this is what he'll say to them, Matthew 7:23. Just walking through the scriptures here. Jesus is going to say, away from me, you workers of lawlessness or iniquity. The word translated lawlessness or iniquity, it means lawbreaker. They're lawbreakers. Okay, it means breaking God's law. And we all have. We've all broken God's laws. Is a born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, believer in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we are living under grace. Thank God for His grace. His grace is still amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. But these counterfeit Christians, they are guilty. They are guilty. They have even broken the greatest commandment of all. Jesus says, love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. See, these counterfeit Christians, they don't love God. They love themselves. The New Testament talks about that a lot, especially in the end times. They're lovers of themselves. They're lovers of money and power and greed and lust. Counterfeit Christians do not obey any of these commands. They're workers of lawlessness. That's what Jesus is teaching us right here. They're spiritual lawbreakers. So to examine ourselves to make sure that we're not counterfeit Christians, Jesus is teaching us right here that we need to examine our fruit, examine our faith. And the third and last one, we'll be almost finished in a minute. The third and last one is we need to examine our foundation. Examine our foundation. Now Jesus is concluding the Sermon on the Mount here, and he says, Matthew 7, verse 24, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Everybody say rock real loud. One more time. You know why I do that? You know why I do that? Helps me relax and get focused and wakes you up. At least I think it does. Amen? verse 25 says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And if you've been around a while, you've heard thousands of messages about this for sure. This refers to the storms of life. You live long enough, you know what I'm talking about. You experience these storms of life. You really don't know what your faith is built upon until you experience one of these troubling storms that come up in life. Joggery, these storms separate the sheep from the goats. And practically speaking, it separates the winners from the losers. Some people don't like when I use the word loser. Especially this, everybody gets a trophy generation. Hope I don't offend anybody. Hey, I deal with all those kids who all got trophies. So anyway, side point. Maybe not, right? I'm going to let that go. Okay, Matthew 7, 26 and 27 says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Verse 27, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference between these two builders? It's the foundation, right? It's not rocket science here. It's the foundation that is built. So God's given us the opportunity here to be wise men and women or foolish men and women. It's our choice. Choose to stay, life or death. You want to have a good marriage? Build it on a foundation, right? A good foundation. You want to have a good job? Build it on a good foundation. Everything in life, you want a good relationship with children, build a good foundation. Your grandchildren, build a good foundation. One built one on sand and one built one on rock. So what is the rock? It's a trick question. What is the rock? Talk to me. Very good. Somebody said, a lot of times people will quick and say, oh, it's Jesus. Jesus is the rock. And that's true. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. Really look at the words here when you're studying the Bible. Look at the words and how this verse is worded. I'm going to read it again. No, actually, yeah, 24 through 26. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. And puts them into practice. Children, listen to this. You can hear all these great stories from the Bible, right? But you got to act it out. You got to apply it to your life. That's what Jesus is telling us here. This is the foundation. Yes, it's Jesus. Jesus is the Word. I understand all that. But it's more than some kind of religious, fancy talk. Or even this. I'll say this. It's even more than this religious kind of hocus-pocus thing that sometimes is taught in churches, you know. I can do all things through Christ's strength. All these superhero verses, oh, they get on my nerves sometimes. Really? People don't really understand what it means. Tunk, ta-da-da. You know? Oh. Hearing it and then applying it. You gotta apply it, not just be a hearer only, but be a doer, right? Doer. So, wise man, foolish man. It's that simple. 1 John 2:3. We know, one day I'll preach a sermon about the Hebrew verses. Remind me. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe 6-7 years from now and get through the whole Bible. 1 John 2:3. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. Matthew 7:2-8. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at His teachings. This word teachings means doctrine. That's what it means. Jesus' doctrine, Jesus' teaching. Same thing. It's amazing sometimes. I feel like I'm picking on preachers today. I got my faults and mistakes too. But it's amazing sometimes I've heard preachers and people say, I don't like preaching on doctrine. You know, I'm just kind of getting away from doctrine because it's too controversial. And if I step on too many toes, they'll leave. And if I, you know, Joby Martin don't believe that, does he? You know, I kind of picked that up from him listening over the last year or so. But, you know, this is the thing that people really need. They need the truth, don't they? They need the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they need. And if it steps on my toes or yours, it's okay. That's what God designed it to do. He designed the word to encourage us, to build us up, to strengthen us, to correct us, right? To bring us to repentance about things in our life. God might want you to repent on something in your life that He knows if you don't, it's going to be a mess for you in 6 months or 2 years. You hear me? Okay, it says the crowds were astonished because Jesus taught this way. Verse 29 says, because He taught as one who had authority and not as one of their teachers of the law. And the reason for that is because all the scribes and the teachers of the laws and all that back then, they would basically just stand up and they open up to Isaiah or whatever. And Rabbi so-and-so said that this is, you know, that's the way they do it, basically. Sorry, my special effects got carried away. But that's what they would do. They would get up and they would read, you know, and then they would comment about what Rabbi so-and-so believes about this, and that's how they did their thing, which is not all bad in that day. You know, that's kind of how it goes. But when Jesus walked up there and He spoke, He didn't refer to any commentaries. He didn't refer to any, you know, famous, you know, preacher of that day or whatever. No, He spoke with authority. You know why? Because there's God Almighty who created everything in human form speaking to these cats. And they could feel it. They could feel it in the deep in their bones. Because they knew that God was speaking to them. And God is speaking to us this morning through His Word. So, I'm going to close now. And I just got to ask you the question, are you a genuine Christian this morning? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the Holy Spirit's come and baptized you and given you strength and courage to start the process of repenting of your sins? Have you seen fruit in your life? The love, joy, peace, patience, all that. It's a legitimate question, right? I know some of you have been going to church here since God left Chicago. That's an old saying, right? Shouldn't have said that during this altar call. Jesus, please forgive me. Man, 1 Corinthians 3:11 is the last verse. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Can you honestly declare this morning, my friends, the words from that song that we sung this morning? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this morning. Thank You for Your Word. I appreciate You so much for helping me through that. But Lord, more than anything, Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has a doubt that whether they're saved or not, and You do give us assurance because You say that if we place our faith in You and believe in You, that we will be saved. And Lord, I know that the enemy comes and tries to give doubts to true born-again believers. So I just rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus to silence his lies. Lord, if there's someone here who is genuinely never really give their life to Christ, Lord, as we sing this song, I'll be glad to pray with them. Be glad they can come down and we'll pray that prayer and make sure that they're saved and born again and they're going to heaven, adopted in the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen.